Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have a returning guest. His name is Eric Scheidler. He is with the Pro-Life Action League, which is based in the Chicago area, prolifeaction.org. We're going to talk about a new movie, which is bound to make a difference, I think, in the pro-life movement, the whole pro-life message. It's called Gosnell. And Eric, let's get right to it. Thank you so much for joining us again. I appreciate that.
I'm so glad to be with you.
Okay, for those not familiar with this movie, Gosnell, tell us about it. And by the way, on Friday and Saturday, it was actually in the top 10 for the weekend. That was not true including Sunday. It was the top 12. But still, as an independent film, on a fraction of the screens around the country, as a pro-life movie, it did phenomenally well.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to see that. I went out and saw it as soon as I could. I went to a matinee on the Friday opening day. And, you know, I was really impressed with the film.
Me too.
You know, we've seen a lot of pro-life movies that were supposed to be that silver bullet, you know, that people see it and it changes their opinions on abortion. But, you know, too often, the pro-life movie that's built that way, it kind of preaches to the choir and also has elements of kind of you know, cheesiness to it and a sort of saccharine quality. You know, trying to sort of a disconnect between what the pro-choice audience might perceive and what is going to resonate with pro-life Christians. This movie dodges that problem. It's a much more professionally made. It looks really good. It's extremely well acted. It's a great script. But most compelling of all is the story. This is the story of notorious abortionist Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who operated a filthy abortion facility in on the west side of Philadelphia that was dubbed a house of horrors by the grand jury that investigated all the horrible violations that they had found there. Now, this place was well known to the pro-life community as a dangerous place, a place where illegal activity was probably happening and certainly unsafe for anybody. Obviously, every abortion clinic is unsafe for the unborn child. This facility was unsafe for women and for employees and for the community. But what brought them down was actually a drug sting. Gosnell and his employees had been illegally selling narcotics using, you know, his prescription pad. And it was this that actually got them caught, despite all the complaints by pro-lifers over the years, despite complaints by doctors whose patients had gone there and been harmed or contracted venereal disease. And up until the very end, the National Abortion Federation and Planned Parenthood were referring people to this facility, especially for inexpensive late-term abortions. So that's kind of how the story unfolded in the courtroom and in the criminal justice system back in 2010. Kermit Gosnell is now serving a life sentence for murder. And in fact, he pled guilty once his trial was held during the sentencing phase so as to avoid the death penalty for his crimes.
And let me say this. This film obviously could have been gory, which would have been a big turnoff for lots of people. They didn't go that route. Instead, they wisely chose to make this primarily a courtroom drama. I mean, much of the action takes place in the courtroom, and so you have that kind of, you know, whatever is allowed there. And they even refer to something that's so gross, but they would never let you see it. And then they, you know, at the very, very end of the movie, if you sit through all the credits, it says, oh, by the way, if you want to see that particular picture, that photograph that was referred to repeatedly, Baby A, in the movie, then go to their website, gosnellmovie.com, and you can find that there. And by the way, I myself did that, and others did too as well, just, you know, kind of so curious about it. So tell us this. I understand that the jury in the Gosnell story, that they were people who believed in abortion rights.
That's right. I mean, the jury selection, you know, in order to have a verdict that no one would be able to accuse of any kind of bias, they were screening out people with any kind of a pro-life perspective, especially any kind of strong pro-life views, because they would have a really hard time, you know, separating the horror of abortion itself from what Gaznelle did. And one of the things the film does really, really well is to highlight how little difference there really is between what Kermit Gaznelle was doing. Now, what he was specifically found guilty of in this trial were two things. They got a voluntary manslaughter conviction against him because of a woman who died because of an overdose of drugs and other complications with an abortion that was taking place at this facility. And then the other convictions were for murdering children who had survived abortion attempts. In fact, this was almost common practice for Kermit Gosnell. The children would be born alive, and then he would insert scissors into their spinal cords and literally snip their necks. It's a horrific thing to even hear about. It's brutally described in the film. And so this is what he was actually convicted of. But there's a scene in which the defense attorney is actually, in defending Kermit Gosnell, interviewing a woman from, probably recognize this to be somebody from NARAL or National Abortion Federation or Planned Parenthood. But anyway, a representative of the quote-unquote legitimate abortion movement who had to admit, here's how we do these abortions. The idea here was to show the jury, look, this may be gory and horrible stuff, but that's what every abortion really is. So if you're supportive of abortion, you can't really say that what this guy did was wrong. And that's really the most chilling moment of the film that really brings home to the viewer that what Dr. Kermit Gosnell did is really no different from the cold-blooded dismemberment that is really an element of most abortions and one that we really need to take a more serious look at as a society.
How come he, and there were complaints about him and his clinic and so forth, and this went on for years, more than 30 years. How come they never took it seriously? And in fact, there's even a reference to the governor of Pennsylvania,
Tom Ridge.
Yeah, and in fact, I had thought, oh, he must be a Democrat, you know, pro-abortion. And no, apparently he was a quote-unquote pro-choice Republican.
That's right. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge had himself instructed the Department of Health not to investigate abortion facilities. This comes out in the film.
Yeah.
And it was one of the horrible indictments of, the entire system when this, these horrible violations were finally discovered, you know, that there was more oversight of a fingernail painting clinic than there would be of an abortion facility, because the politicians and the department, executives in the state of Pennsylvania just didn't want to go there. They didn't want to find out. And we've seen that all over the country. Here in the state of Illinois, where Pro-Life Action League is headquartered, it took complaints by pro-lifers to get the Department of Health to finally start investigating abortion facilities. In some cases, they hadn't stepped through the doors of these abortion facilities in 15 years. And to this day, half of the abortion facilities in Illinois are totally unregulated and uninspected because of the arcane reporting laws we have here. There's very little oversight in many states. So we often don't know how safe. They claim that abortion is safe. Well, we don't know because we can't actually look at the statistics. Now, it's impossible to find out how many women are being injured or killed by abortionists in a state like Illinois. Unless 50 women die in a particular county, it's not reported. And that's a huge number. So we are really in a state in the dark about how safe abortion is. Of course, remember, when we talk about the safety of abortion, we're only talking about the safety to the mother. For the child, abortion is almost always, in 99.99999% of the time, fatal. There are those children who survive abortion, and there are some like Melissa Odin who are out there to tell their story. But let's always keep in mind, it's never safe for the baby.
Yeah. And, you know, the one aspect of the Gosnell thing that was just unbelievably unsafe for the patients, again, not much, much less the babies, but the patients, the employees, a lot of times they would just be teenage girls or, you know, women, young, very young. They had no training, medical training and so forth, and they would have these little color flow charts or whatever, but they would be administering drugs to the patients.
Yeah, we have teenagers.
You know, unbelievable. I mean, it's
teenagers
just
teenagers administering drugs. And what's ironic is that what they were doing, you know, having untrained people begin to perform abortions, performing the procedures, providing drugs. We have politicians all over the country, pro-abortion politicians, calling for these same policies to become the law. They want to see they want to have telemed abortions, for example, where the doctor never even sees the patient. And dispenses the pills by pressing a button and then a drawer opens at a telemed center. Oh. They want to have non-doctors be allowed to perform abortions because they're having a very hard time getting providers. They can't convince doctors to do abortions. And the number of facilities is going down, the number of providers is going down. And their response to that isn't to say, well, what is it about abortion that makes doctors so unwilling to do it? Rather, it's to say, let's take away all the rules, let's take away all the regulations. In fact, just today, I saw about a campaign from a group called Repro Action, a new radical pro-abortion activist group, calling for the birth control pill to be made available over the counter. Now, you can think of all kinds of ways that that would be abused, but talk about safety. I mean, I've got six daughters myself, and the older ones have numerous times had, for all kinds of different conditions, have had nurses and doctors trying to push the birth control pill on them for nothing to do with birth control. So, you know, we already have a problem with overuse of this particular pharmaceutical, and yet we have people who want no oversight at all, despite all the many, many side effects and potential for abortifacient effect and all of it. So that's the radicalism of the entire abortion movement, not just an outlier like Kermit Gosnell.
Okay, now, Gosnell is black. And as an African American, obviously it is an important component. Those who went after him at one point, you know, he was accusing them of being racist. And obviously America has a lot of issues related to racism. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the most outrageous criticisms that we receive from the pro-abortion lobby, that we are racist because of the fact that we want to restrict abortion. They say, well, you know, your laws make it harder for the underprivileged, for minorities to get abortions and so forth. And my response is, how racist is it to try to save black and Hispanic babies from abortion? We want to see these children survive. We care about them. We recognize them as human beings. You know, abortion has been absolutely devastating to the black community. You know, the relative population of African Americans in this country is going down and down and down, and abortion is the reason why.
Yeah.
Wildly disproportionate number of abortions are happening in the African American community. And so it's just a ridiculous criticism, especially when you look at how many prominent African Americans there are in the pro-life movement, people like Dr. Leta King, people like Ryan Bomberger, Walter Hoy, mm-hmm. Who recognizes devastation to their community and who are working to try to change it. And in fact, when we go out in the public, we see that minorities tend to be much more pro-life. They tend to be much more open to our message, much less resistant to seeing the reality of abortion in the public square and talking about it, frankly. Even though there is that disproportionate number of abortions there, there's also a strong pro-life sentiment that we could build upon.
All right, we have 30 seconds left. This movie managed to do really well despite all the obstacles that it had to overcome, including, you know, all kinds of discrimination and being shown on very few screens relatively, and yet it still did extremely well. We have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, the pro-life movement needs to join together and get people to go to this movie. Take your pro-choice friend. Take the person you've talked to a little bit about abortion. You know, take somebody who is maybe sitting on the fence. Take them to this movie, and then afterwards go out for a cup of coffee, have a conversation about what happened, and explain that what the horrors that Kermit Gosnell was perpetrating are the result of the evil of abortion, the injustice of abortion, and pervade the entire abortion industry in one way or another, and we need to do something about it. We need to fight abortion, we need to protect those children by law, and we need to shut down the abortion industry.
Eric Scheidler, thanks for being with us. ProLifeAction.org and also GosnellMovie.com. Gosnell is spelled with two L's. Thank you, Eric. All the best.
God bless.
All right, bye-bye.